Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's
local and loyal programming.
Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, the creator and host of the award-winning podcast that you're listening to right now, thank you so much, called Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. It is a daily podcast, 365 days a year, and each day we talk to an author about all of the things related to their career, their book, their life, and more in 30 minutes or less, because who has time? I am now an author myself, although I wasn't when I started this podcast, and you can get my new memoir, Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, wherever books are sold starting July 1st, and my children's book, Princess Charming. You can learn more about me at ZibbyOwens.com, but really, you're here to learn more about the authors, and that is what we're going to do. Also, be sure to check out all the other podcasts in the Zcast Podcast Network. You can learn more at ZcastNetwork.com, and definitely check out those shows as well. Jemele Hill is the author of Uphill, a memoir. Jemele is the Emmy Award-winning former co-host of ESPN's SportsCenter and 2018 NABJ Journalist of the Year. Hill is a contributing writer for The Atlantic, where she covers the intersection of sports, race, politics, and culture. She is also the producer of a Disney ESPN documentary with Colin Kaepernick. She grew up in Detroit, graduated from Michigan State University, and now lives in Los Angeles. Welcome, Jemele. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss your memoir, Uphill.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Of course, I enjoy talking about my favorite thing, which is this memoir. Oh,
I enjoy talking about my favorite things, which is me.
Which is me.
Well, I feel like it's so fitting to come on this. Not that the show is really for moms anymore, although of course there are lots of moms and non-moms and everything, but the relationships between you and your mom and your grandmother are so profound and interesting and emotional and I mean, the experiences that you've all lived through, your relationships to each other. I mean, that was for me the heart of this whole story. And I know things have happened in your career and you've become this hugely successful person in ESPN and all this. But when you went really deep into you and their experience, it was so moving and so good. So anyway, just had to say that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It was, I think the difficulty in writing a memoir is that you're writing obviously about real people. And while my grandmother's no longer living, you know, obviously my mother is, and we still have a good relationship. And so you have to approach how you write about them with honesty and transparency for sure, but also with care and delicacy and even empathy. I mean, this is not something that I had to manufacture. It's something that I naturally felt, but whether it was them or any of the other people that I wrote about in the book, especially those relationships that are still in my life and a part of my life that I want to preserve, is that that's always something that you have to weigh as you're trying to tell your story, be candid, be honest, and bring the emotion to the pages as you felt it in that moment and as you still feel it. So it was, it's quite a balancing act, which makes writing a memoir just wildly different than obviously anything I've ever written.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You start with your own childhood. You start going and you go back to a lot of the backstory with your mom and your grandmother. And when you're recounting some of the things that happened to your family and your mom when she was younger, I was, you know, I was just like, oh my gosh, no, again, I can't believe this. All the sexual assault your mom went through. Like the scene in the van, like then at the liquor store, like all over and over, there were just so many things that happened to her. And I was like, by the time we get to the end where the two of you are still like together and like at an event and like, you know, sitting somewhere as something, I was like, oh my God, how is she even just still sitting there? Like she's gone through so much stuff. How can she just walk down the street? I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's the misfortune and it's just so awful, and the trauma that she went through. And then for you to be the daughter to absorb all of that, that's a lot.
It is. And believe it or not, the reaction that you're having right now in this moment, or as you read it, is the same reaction that I had as she was telling me some of this. I mean, a lot of it I knew, or I would say more than 50% of it I knew, but there were parts in the book I did not know until she told me as I sort of interviewed for her for this book so I could figure out how I wanted to tell this story, how, you know, just even knowing some of the finer details to make sure I had the accuracy right, to make sure at time and place. And, you know, frankly, the difficulty of taking her back through the worst moments of her life. And I tried to be very careful in how I did that. So when I first started to begin the writing process and was talking to her and talking about our family history overall, I sort of started with the lighter stuff first, and then I wanted to save all the harder and more difficult things for a couple conversations and not constantly go back to her and say, hey, well, what about, you know, the rape in Texas? And what about this part and that part? I didn't want to do that to her, to re-traumatize her in any way. And even in discussing, you know, that rape, I knew it happened and had known it for a long time, but there were small details that I did not know. You know, I didn't know how she was abducted. I didn't know, I didn't know that's how it happened. And even some of the things that she dealt with following that, I did not know. So it was very eye-opening for me. I had long forgiven my mother for, you know, some of the difficulties I experienced in my childhood. And I have always given her a lot of grace, but I think learning about things that I didn't know and the things that she survived made me sort of triple the amount of grace that I'd already given mm-hmm. her. And I often have the same reaction that you have, which is I cannot believe she was able to withstand all of this and that she is still here, and not just still here, but thriving and having gone back to get her master's and done all these things. Yeah. Done all these things as an adult at that stage in her life that, you know, a lot of people would not have been able to accomplish given the severity of the trauma she experienced through the majority of her life.
And then you also write about your own traumas, even the car accident. Like, that was terrible. Talk a little more about that. And do you think about that often? And, you know, the people coming in and out of your lives and the poverty and like the infested, I'm just like so in awe. You know, yeah. I know you're not the only one. And I know these stories, you know, it's just such a warrior to get through all of it, like almost dying in the hospital with this accident. And oh my gosh, you poor thing.
Well, sadly, my story is relatable. Mm-hmm. That's the sad part.
Yeah.
And that's what's unfortunate is that I'm not the only person in this world and certainly not in this country to have parents who are recovering addicts, who not the only person who, you know, had an impoverished childhood and had gone through all these. The experiences themselves are unique, but the mm-hmm. situations are kind of relatable. But, you know, in terms of my car accident that I was in, where I flatlined and, you know, was thrown out of this car after this, you know, kind of freak accident, if you will. In the, you know, at the time, you know, as a child, you don't really process what's happening. And, you know, as I wrote about in the book, what I think about in the moment is like what it allowed me, what I wasn't able to do because of it. You know, sports have always been a big part of my life. And to be told temporarily that I, you know, could not play sports and not find a way to interact with other kids. And then physically, the way I looked after this accident was, you know, obviously very detrimental. You know, as a child, you want to fit in, you know, you want to be with your peers and you want to feel accepted. And to not really feel that because these lingering injuries that I suffered, that was tough. You know, that was a tough time in my life. And, you know, later on, as I grew into adulthood, that's when you start thinking about your purpose. That's when you start thinking about how close you were to not being here. And you wonder, as I've always wondered, like, what was the reason? You know, and it doesn't have to be a thing where I'm questioning the things that are happening in my life, but more or less looking at it from the standpoint of there's a reason why I'm here. And I have to make sure that every day when I get up, that I'm faithful to whatever that reason is. I don't always know what it is, but there's clearly a reason why I'm supposed to be here. And so part of my purpose, my drive, my ambition is built around always being very intentional about understanding why I am here. And to make sure that with these God-given talents, these position I've been placed in, that I'm maximizing it at all times because there's a reason that I'm here. And so, because again, as I write about in the book, I very easily could have not been here. And so it's just something, you know, that's kind of, it's something that drives you, but at the same time, it's also very heavy to deal with.
Yeah. Course. And one thing that you did when you were younger is turn to books, which mm-hmm. I also did, and probably many listeners. And you said, if I could just read these two paragraphs, is that okay? You said, I had anger, resentment, fear, and longing bubbling inside me and nowhere to dump those feelings. I was too embarrassed to talk about my mother with any of my friends. I shared some things with my grandmother, but talking to her was difficult because I knew she would just use whatever I told her to badmouth my mother to her friends and other people in our family. Instead of confiding in someone from my inner circle, I turned to two trusted outsiders, Judy Blum and Margaret Simon. Judy Blum was one of my favorite authors. I read everything I could from her, Superfudge, Dini, Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing, and It's Not the End of the World. But my favorite book of them all was Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. and then at the end, you said that's how you started writing. Mm-hmm. So tell me more about that and your lifelong love of reading and Judy Blum and all of it.
Yeah, Beverly Cleary and Judy Blum, my two best friends in my head. I was a voracious reader from the beginning. And as I write about in my memoir, you know, that love was stoked. And I'm sure this will be of great comfort to parents that are listening, is that it was stoked by the fact that my stepfather read to me on a regular basis. And so, yes, it does actually take root, parents, that when you read to your children, it does stoke that love of reading in them. It may not seem like it, but it does. And so I think about those early childhood books that I love, Curious George, Frog and Toad. You know, I still have a copy of Frog and Toad somewhere. It's like, you know, my favorite childhood book, that entire series. And that is what made me want to read. And so I just started reading as a young adult, continue that habit. Lost a little bit in college because when you have to read in college, it's a totally different thing. Mm-hmm. I did not do much pleasure reading in college, I will say. But luckily, you know, picked it back up you know, once I, it was some distance between my professional life and college. So, you know, I've always found great comfort in books. I think books change your perspective on the world. Books make you curious about the world. And I, it's hard for me to even fathom where my life would be, you know, without books. And it made me want to be a writer, even though I didn't know how that process worked. I didn't know how, you know, how one becomes an author at all, but it is what totally drove me to do what I'm doing now. I always saw myself as somebody who would eventually write a book. I just never thought that it would be a book about me, would be my first book. I always wanted to be a fiction writer, because it wasn't until much later in adulthood that I actually started to read nonfiction. Most of my life, I have read fiction. But now I've sort of made a turn where I think in part because I had to write a memoir, like where I've become hugely invested in reading a lot of nonfiction. So books were just a lifesaver for me. It certainly stoked my imagination, and it allows you to get kind of lost in a universe, in a world that's not your own. And, you know, I know people have different ways in which they decompress, but for me, that way is through books.
Me too.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
Have you read anything amazing lately? I mean, I just read your book, but what did you read?
Well, right now, and this is also, I think, the great part as well about being in the profession, that I'm in, you know, being a journalist, is that especially because I have to interview people, I'm constantly like, I am the interviewer that if you've written a book, I'm going to read it, right? And so it's that part I love, because it allows me to read books that I may not have picked up on my own. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm reading a book called Go Ahead in the Rain. And it is by the writer's last name, I'm afraid to say because I know I will mispronounce it, but his first name is Hanif. And I'm a hip hop fan as well. And this book is about A Tribe Called Quest and one of the, you know, best rap groups in history. And so he wrote this book just about their dynamic, their relationship, It's really about music and sound, and it's really, really good. And so I'm almost done with that book. And I've read some, like in 2022, I read a lot of amazing books, and probably the best book I read on the fiction front was a book called Night Crawling by Leila Motley. And this book is phenomenal. I mean, I cannot believe this young lady wrote this book at 18 years old. And she won the National Book Award. And it was, you know, the best books are when you, as you're reading it, you feel something shift inside of you. And that's what this book is. And so that was my best, you know, probably book recommendation of 2022. And probably the best memoir I read in 2022, I'm not counting my own, of course, is Viola Davis's Finding Me. I mean, that is, you want to talk about a woman that you will look at and say, how is she still here? Read her book. Her book is extraordinary. Or better yet, my suggestion would be to listen to the audiobook. And I know some people don't love audiobooks, and sometimes there can be this sort of divide between the book readers and the audiobook listeners. The reason the audiobook is worth it is because she does it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Viola Davis is a powerful actress, and this is the best audiobook I've ever heard. I'm not surprised at all that she's up for a Grammy for it, because it's just that good. So that was probably the best memoir that I read in 2022. Because, you know, as you know from my book, I grew up poor. The level of poverty that Viola Davis grew up under is a different level. And so she made me feel rich by reading her book. I would say that I grew up rich by reading it. But she has been through some extraordinary challenges. And, you know, that woman is a walking testimony. So those would be sort of my recommendations from my 2022 a lot. We're still early in 2023. Yes. So I still have a lot of books. Still got a lot of books to get to this year that I'm very much looking forward to.
That was a great recommendation. That has been on my list of things I need to read. Sometimes I prioritize all the ones I'm doing. I do 365 podcasts a year. So I'm like, I have to read those books. But anyway, I haven't, I don't know. So I'm sometimes like, well, I'm not going to read it because she's not coming on my podcast. But anyway, maybe I'll try again, you know, to get her on. And, but I like audiobooks in particular by authors who are memoirs. I'm not as... I mean, maybe I shouldn't even say this, but I have a harder time following fiction on audiobook, you know, but when it's somebody telling me their story in their words, I'm like, oh yeah, keep it coming.
You know, if you asked me my preference, I would probably say the same thing. Like a fiction book, I would prefer to actually read and I'm a feel the pages person, but unfortunately I don't have a library as extensive as yours in terms of space. So it's like, I have to make decisions. Like, as much as I want to physically read this book, I have to make tough choices. And then I'll just, you know, obviously resort to reading it electronically. But a fiction book, if it's by somebody, I guess, newsworthy of note, you know, like I listened to Will Smith's audiobook, which was phenomenal as well. The actors have a built-in cheat code. Okay. So like whenever you read, or if you do an audiobook that, you know, an actor has done, you're probably in for a much different audio experience than you are, say, when I did my audiobook. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I kind of make the same separation that you do. It's like I'll do a memoir or even something non, you know, fiction in audio. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to listen to fiction. I want to read it.
Yeah. I thought there was maybe something wrong with me.
Like, no,
I just can't follow it as much. I just can't. I don't know what's wrong, but maybe that'll be a goal. Get better. One of my favorite audiobooks, by the way, I don't know if you've read Jodi Patterson's book, A Bold World, but she read that herself. She had many kids, including one who was trans. And anytime I think about that book, I think about her saying the word Penelope. And she has this kind of like dark, lower voice and like Penelope this and da da da. I don't know. I like feel like by the time I interviewed her, I'm like, you're like my best friend. You don't even know me. So,
well, the audiobook experience for an author, you know, like especially me being a first time author and, you know, not being an actor it's a little weird. It's a little disconcerting. I mean, it probably took me a couple weeks to do mine. And when the sound of your own voice, most people don't like it. I don't like the sound of my own voice. But that's all you're sort of hearing. And it was fun to do, but also nerve wracking to do it because you're trying to, you know, you have to sell it in a different way. And then the writer in me, when I was writing the book, I never even thought about the fact that I would probably have to do an audiobook. So I, as I'm doing my audiobook, I'm also sort of mentally swearing at myself, like, why did you make these sentences so long? Like, it's, and then there are just words that you're so used to writing that you're not used to saying out loud. Yep. And so there was probably a new collection of like 15, 20 words that I realized I can't really say. I don't actually know how to say and pronounce, but I know how to write them. I can't necessarily say them aloud. So it's a very humbling experience.
Yeah. That's totally happened to me too. Somebody will say a word and I'm like, oh my gosh, is that how you say that? I've always, in my head, it was something totally different, but yeah.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. So you write, sort of the second half is more about your career and everything that's happened with that and negotiating, eventually leaving ESPN and, you know, moving on to your, not to mention little cameo by Donald Trump. And I mean, there's your life is like crazy. What are you going to do now? Like, what is your, what are you doing? What are you continuing to do from before? What are you doing now? And how is the book life?
No, the book has been, you know, really life-changing, and it still just strikes something in me when I, you know, I had this experience, you know, going through the airport, and I went into Hudson's Books because I think they're the largest bookseller. And then to see my memoir sitting there, it was surreal. It was like, wow, my book is actually in a store, you know, and actually people can buy it at the airport. And even, yeah, because on social media, people send, somebody just sent me a photo that they were on the subway and they saw a woman reading my book. And that's like, yeah, that's like the coolest, you know, thing. They were in a subway in New York and I was like, oh, this is just so cool. So, you know, it's been, it's been different being asked more about, you know, personal things in my life as opposed to current events or, you know, social, political, or sports events, because that's what I'm primarily asked about or had been until this time. And so now being asked about me and talking about myself constantly is kind of interesting. I made that joke earlier in the podcast, but yes, my favorite thing, me, it was sort of tongue in cheek because I was like, I spent weeks talking just about myself and I was like, wow, that's a lot. Yeah, so that's certainly been life-changing to have this out there in the public and to have people digesting it. And it's been warmly received, which obviously is what you want as an author. But yeah, now it's sort of like I'm moving to a different, phase in my life, just in the sense of while, you know, writing will always be central to what I do, I still write for The Atlantic and, you know, but I also am moving into this phase where I'm getting into more things on the production side. So I'm executive producing Colin Kaepernick's documentary that's being directed by Spike Lee. So we're like knee deep in production in that. So that has a significant amount of my attention. I also have started a podcast network with Spotify. I have my own podcast on Spotify called Jemele Hill Is Unbothered, which is a weekly podcast. I do not do 300 episodes a year. So when you said 300 episodes, it's like,
365 oh every day, 365. Every single day. Yeah.
That's incredible.
No, it's insane.
I stand in awe. Thank you. So you also make me feel like I'm not working hard enough. I think I do maybe.
You're a slacker.
Like
you're a total slacker.
Yeah, I'm totally slacker.
Yeah.
I'm clearly not on the ball.
I'm here to make you feel bad. That's my job here today.
Thank you. You successfully achieved it.
Great. Perfect.
But I started a podcast network at Spotify specifically that centers Black women. So we launched our first two podcasts late last year in November. One is called Sanctified, which is about really how Black women worship. The other one is called The Black Girl Bravado, which is a wellness podcast that's really, both of them are extremely funny, you know, and all of the hosts, these are some really dynamic women, and I think people will enjoy them. So those are also available on Spotify. And so I have a few more TV and film projects coming up in this next quarter, or this quarter, I should say. And so, yeah, it's just kind of ramping up the production side of my life. That will, at least it looks like for 2023, that will be sort of the defining bar of my life, is all these TV and documentary and film productions that I have in the works.
So cool. Really fun.
Thank you.
Well, I could make like a bad joke. Like, it was all uphill, but I feel like it's downhill from here. People say that?
Downhill is the follow-up memoir.
Oh, okay, good. A sequel.
The sequel is going to be called Downhill.
We need like a little like plateau, you know, like plateau.
Yeah. Well, as you know from reading the book, the first part of it is so heavy that I was like, man, the next thing I write, I got to make sure that it's like kind of joyous and uplifting because I don't want people to think that, you know, my life is just consumed by these dark things. And even people who read it, I often tell them, I said, don't worry, it gets lighter as you go.
Yeah, that's true.
It gets lighter as you go.
That's true. But I like wallowing in the dark in stories. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes how you like feel like you get a sense of who people are.
Yeah, it's so true. Mm-hmm. Well, this was awesome. I'm sorry I made you feel bad. Haha, not kidding.
not kidding, right? Sort of, yeah.
Sort of-ish. But anyway, it was great to connect. Good luck with all your stuff coming up. And thank you. This was really, really a moving read. And, you know, congratulations.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate, you having me on. And I always get to connect with another fellow avid book reader.
I feel like you and I should interview Viola Davis together. Maybe that's why.
I'm in.
You want to do that?
I'm in. Let me know. I am 100% in.
Okay. Maybe I'll pitch it with like guest hosts of you.
I'm in.
Okay. All right. We'll see if it works. Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.